You're listening to Marriage Takeover with Eric and Tamika Thompson, helping to enrich your marriage.
Hey people, it's Tamika.
It's your boy E-Rock, Nim.
We've been married for 22 years. We keep it real.
We keep it raw.
And we keep it uncut.
All day.
And this is Marriage Takeover. Hey, listen guys, we are excited to be back here. This is part two of the Marriage Vows.
Part two, yeah.
If you missed part one, go back and check it out. It was fire.
The sequel.
So we're going to go ahead and get started with prayer and then move back in. For those of you who are tuning in for the very first time, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
We appreciate you for stopping by. Hit that subscribe button if you're watching us on YouTube or on the podcast. Hit that like or favorite our podcast so that you can always know when we have new material coming out. And then for those of you who are tuning in, again, thank you so much for your support. This podcast would not be what it is without you. So
without
thank you,
you
so much.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hit the subscribe where you find the bell. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We give you praise. We thank you for who you are. God, we ask that you just have your way. God, we bless your name because you are so awesome. Mighty are the works of your hands. And so,
yes,
God, we
Lord.
Thank you, oh God, for who you are and what you're doing. So, God, we pray now in the name of Jesus, God, for every couple, for every marriage. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, God, I pray now that you continue to give them the strength to go through this whole virtual pandemic and whatever else is taking place. So, God, I pray now in the name of Jesus, God, that you give peace, strength, in the name of Jesus, comfort. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We bless you, Father. We ask that you have your way right now, God. God, for you already know the word that you have placed in us. Oh, God, Father God, we pray now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that every heart and mind, oh, God, and every ear that is open to hear, receive what you have for them, oh, God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
So, God, we ask that you just continue to have your way. You guide, you lead. And, Father, we will follow. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
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 So if you are
tuning
in,
we're going to recap it.
We're just doing a quick recap from the last episode. No, we're not going to do that.
Real
Go
quick.
Back and watch the last episode. So
we're going to pick up where we left off at.
And so we are, again, in the Pastor's Guidebook, A Manual for Worship by Marion Aldridge. That'll be in the show notes if you'd like to go out and purchase your copy. And we're talking about the marriage vows. So we hadn't even got to the marriage vows yet. We are still on the
pre-phase.
Right, the preface, so the ceremonial part. So again, the marriage vows are not biblical.
Right.
They are not in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But however, we live our life based off of the principle and the biblical context of how Christ is looking for his bride when he comes back.
Right, right.
Right? So
when you look at it, the vows that have been given was actually written back in the 1500s in the Book of Common Prayer from Archbishop Thomas Cranmer.
So
yeah.
Cramner.
Right. So basically during the Roman Catholic time, because he was actually part of the whole Catholic Reformation. So I ain't gonna get too deep into that, but I'm just saying, as far as with the
that's the biblical
the
context
vow.
Of where the vows came from.
Well, I'm saying the biblical context, but that's
where
that
initiated.
It started from back in the 1500s,
which was initially just a prayer to his soon-to-be, or his, it was his wife.
It was
right.
Right. It was his.
So it
his
was a prayer
wife,
to his wife
that he actually wrote and put in the Book of Common Prayer because it's a quote unquote a common prayer.
So we're going to pick up where we left off.
Amen.
And it says, have this
Hold
mind.
Hold on, wait a minute. Where did we leave off at? We went past the part where the Father
You're doing
gives.
A recap.
Huh?
You're doing a recap.
I'm just trying to
we
catch
up. We said
up.
We were not doing a recap. Go back and watch the last podcast.
What
Go
I tell
listen
y'all.
Remember, the
remember the power of agreement. Go ahead.
So.
Go back and watch last week's. Praise the Lord. That's the agreement
last
that we're
month.
In. You know what I meant to
the
say.
Podcast.
Last month. You know when we were on. Praise the Lord.
This is part two.
Number two.
Two.
Get
two.
At us. That's right. Merry
so
Christmas.
So have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross.
Yes.
This is where they are talking about where the husbands are to love the wives as Christ gave his life for and died for and loved the church. This is what this reference is talking about.
So what does that mean entail if they find it that important to put in there? Why would you, what is your thought on why would they put that in there?
I don't know. Can I finish reading the scripture and then we can go back into it? Let's read the whole thing.
That's it. I got to deal with it. Go ahead on.
So therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that is in Philippians 2:5-11. All right. So we're reading the script, this context, because right before that context, it was talking about how the wives should submit themselves to their own husbands. And then shortly after that, it was talking about how the husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. So in this context, I think that it's saying that this is so important, because have this in mind that Jesus came in the likeness of man. So what God did was he sent his only son in the likeness of man, that he will become flesh, to understand he humbled himself so that he would be obedient unto death.
Right.
To give up his life for an opportunity that we would be able to know him.
So
that we would be able to accept and have and come into covenant with him to have the gift of eternal life. So what?
So correlate that to the vows. Why is that important in the vow of giving of the vows?
Think that's important because if you understand from the correlation of when the pastor is giving the charge to the parents and to the father, the parents are saying, we're giving and we're turning over this bride to you, who you're going to love and care and to watch over as we have done. And then even for the children, if there are children that are available in that state or, you know, in a situation where the children are offering that blessing, we're doing this in front of everybody. So everybody is on one accord to understand that we are giving you a blessing. And so when they're handing over the reins to you, before we even start these vows, before we even commit to you coming into covenant and into agreement, we're saying, listen, we're telling you, husband, groom, that you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church.
Okay.
How he gave himself, how he came into flesh, how he humbled himself, how when it is sometimes you want to say something or do something, you might want to humble yourself to be able to come and to die to self so that you can be in full alignment of what God has called and has designed for the marriage. So you're asking me all the questions. What do you think? What do you think? Why do you think that was the case?
I don't want to ask the question.
You didn't know? I know you knew. Come on. Don't put me out there like that.
No, it's because the reason why I ask that is because sometimes we misunderstand what the scripture is saying. Just as you said, is that wives, that when he says that husband, love your, what's the matter? Oh, I thought I put it down there so I won't be breathing. But as the scripture says, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. So what did Christ do for the church? He died for her. What does that entail when it comes down to dying? Meaning that he then put himself higher than he needed to because of what he was doing. Because we're talking about Christ that laid aside who he was, being the Word, being spirit with God. He laid aside who he was to become flesh for us. And so the thing is that we have to lay aside who we are and humble ourselves when it comes down to it. Because when we begin, because that's how we can begin to show that true love. Because when we have to sit aside ourselves, guess what we do? Now we become vulnerable. So basically it's like I'm showing you now who I am in order for me to really show you the love that I possess for you. And see, a lot of times we don't understand that what did Christ do for the church? He gave his own self for the church. And guess what? He gave himself for the church, and the church is still cursing him. So what do you think that takes place even in marriage? even though I'm still giving myself for my wife, even though it may not line up, but I still come to understand it is because of love. It is because of love. So it does not matter. My love is going to give me the patience so that my love can be shown through the whole multitude. I can't wait till we get into these vials because
I got one nugget, thing from though. The jump. Go ahead. Nugget. So even when Christ came, when Jesus came in, he became flesh, right? So he was on earth, he was walking around, he was amongst everybody. So he humbled himself and became flesh. Mm-hmm. If you think about that, like he came from the heavenlies, right? He came from the heavenly realm, he came from the deity. Mm-hmm. And he came down. So this means that he had all power.
Right.
This means that he had all authority.
Right.
This means that he had full control.
Amen.
That there were some things that he could have possessed here on the earth to show the dominance.
Uh-huh.
He could have done that.
Come on. I see what you're doing.
But he was humble enough.
I'm with you.
To say that although I have the authority to do this, although I have the dominance to do this, although I have all power to do this, although I have all strength to do this,
right.
I'm going to humble myself.
Come on.
And I'm going to die to myself.
Come on.
I'm going to die for a people that don't even know that they need to be saved right now.
Come on.
So if you think about that, and it's saying, husbands, love yourself as Christ loved the church, that means that when they spat on him, that means that when they beat him, that means that when they did all these things. Now, wives, I'm not saying that this is what you need to be doing to your husband. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is, so husbands, I think a lot of times we put the contextual stamp on wives, submit yourselves to the husband, and because it's referenced so many times in the Bible, or because it gives the women more context in the scriptures than it does the men, is because the men, although it's a small phrase, it's the most powerful phrase.
So when he says to husbands,
love your wives as Christ loved the church and died for it, all he's asking the ladies to do is to submit. He's not even telling.
But yeah, okay, go ahead on. I'm with you on that.
Just in this reference.
In this reference.
All he's telling us to do is to submit to your own husbands.
Right. But this is, I'm sorry, were you done?
Go ahead.
Okay, so because even when we look at this, if you have your Bible, just turn to John, the first chapter. I'm going to show you something. St. John, the first chapter, verse 14. It says, and the word was made flesh.
Hold on, John, what? Give me a minute.
St. John, the first chapter.
St. John 1,
verse 14.
1 and 14. All right.
Track it. It says, and the word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. Stop right there. If Christ gave himself for the church, because he's the word. I don't want to go too far into that whole teaching piece, but you understand. I have to catch up real quick. But if Christ came for the church, died for the church, he dwelt among us to get to know us. So how if I'm saying I want to marry you and I can't die to myself to get to know you?
Right.
See, and that's where we missed the key part, because man, I can go do what I want to do, and you just stay home and do whatever. I don't submit to my own husband because my own husband don't know how to dwell.
Right.
So now it's like, how can we do this? Well, first, I'm going to tell you, first, husband, learn to dwell.
Right.
Learn to dwell, because if you're saying, I'm giving up those formal things for this right here, right now, that's meaning that my love for you is so complete.
Right.
I want to dwell. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Meaning what? That if you can learn to die to self for your bride, then you can understand where favor comes. Come on here. Then you can understand where favor comes. because favor comes in the dwelling. Why? Because the more I dwell, the better I know.
Right.
Mm. Come on.
The more you dwell, the more you know.
The more you dwell, the more you know.
And then, and what's so powerful about understanding the dwelling and understanding when you love your wife as Christ loved the church, there is no question about submitting, right? So here's what I believe. I could be completely wrong. This is Tamika's version of why she thinks, Tamika's perspective of why she thinks that the scriptures were laid out to tell the ladies first to submit yourself to your husbands. Right, because that was identified at least twice. Let's go there.
No, we're not talking about submit. It's just right here in the vows.
Let's just recap to that. I think that was
Ephesians 5:22.
So Ephesians 5. Let's go back to 21 though. So it says, "Be subject to one another of reverence for Christ." So it's telling you to be subject to one another. That was the first context. Then it says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord." For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and himself its Savior. So, as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. So, they're telling us twice to submit ourselves to our husbands. So, the first context is to submit yourselves to one another, mm-hmm. right? So, this is where that perfect love comes in. This is where when you don't love one another, you don't know how to submit yourself to one another. But then it tells us down in the next few scriptures, submit yourselves, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands mm-hmm. as Christ, as they are the head of the house or head of the, I don't want to misquote it, to your husbands, for they are the head of the wife. And then it drops down and it tells us again, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. Mm-hmm. So I believe that it's telling us that because it's saying, wives, okay, I understand that we have to be subject to one to another, but then I need to reiterate to you that you need to be subject to your husbands. And then at the very bottom, it seals it in scripture that says, now husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he died and he gave himself for it.
Mm-hmm.
So understand that although it's a small segment, I think that is the most important segment because it lets you know that although Christ didn't have to die, he didn't have to die. Understand, he did not have to die.
He didn't have to do it.
But the point.
But the for point the that, scriptures to be fulfilled, come on.
But the point that he did die, when he could have called down the legions of angels,
he could have.
The point that he did die. Even for a people that didn't even realize that they needed to be saved and to have everlasting life, even for a people that didn't acknowledge him or want to know him sometimes, he still died.
Mm-hmm.
So the reference of husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her and died, that's saying that guess what? When the rubber meets the road and everybody wants to throw in the towel, guess what you got to do, husband?
You got to die.
You got to die to self.
But what
don't throw in the towel.
Right.
And say, I can't do this. I can't deal with this woman. I can't deal with these. I can't do. No. This is when you die to self. So, Tamika, how do you die to self? You get before the Father. You get before God. You get before, you lay in his presence. And if you don't know what else to say, God, I don't know what to say.
Come on now.
I don't know what to do. But I need you to help me.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to guide me. I need you to help me to lead this family. Mm. I need you to help me to lead my wife. I need you to help me to love my wife. I need you to help me so that I can be the man Amen. That you have called for me Amen. To be.
Amen.
That's how you die to self.
Come on now.
And when you don't, when the thoughts come up and you want to say certain things or you want to lash out and you want to go to the behaviors that you know are in the flesh, dying to self means that you need to now align yourself with the Spirit.
Right.
And when you align yourself with the Spirit, you speak Spirit, you do Spirit, you are Spirit. You align yourself with everything that the Spirit of God will do,
Amen.
And it will counteract the flesh.
Amen.
But if you aren't before God, then it's going to be hard for you to get in the Spirit.
I'm trying to
if you aren't laying yourself at the feet of the Father, if you aren't saturating yourself in his presence, if you aren't being before him and just saying, God, I may not even know what to say. I may not even know what to do.
God, I don't even know how to handle this.
I don't even know how to handle this, God. But what I do know is that I need you in order to be able to get through this.
Come on.
And just sit.
Give me insight, Lord.
God, open my ears so that I can hear you. Surround me with people that are going to help me and to push me into the things that you want me to be in, God, that are going to align my life with your will for me.
Come on.
A lot of times we got friends and we got all these people that they don't understand the will of God. Mm. How they going to push you into the will of God and they don't understand the will of God?
They don't even understand your purpose.
Right.
So how can they push you in a place that they don't even understand that's your purpose? Or what's your purpose? Man.
So understand that. So when it says that husbands love yourself as Christ loved the church.
Love your wives as Christ loved the church.
Husbands, yes, sorry. Love your wives as Christ loved the church.
Hmm.
And
it's
he
funny.
Died for it.
Well, as you
ahead.
Said, love yourselves as Christ loved the church. Well, you got to understand, the Bible tells that the two shall become one.
Right. But that was not scripture. So.
Yeah. No, what you said, it wasn't. But no, yeah. I understand because yeah. two shall be one. And so when you look at, you are now in your home. You are Adam. She's Eve. But how was Eve created? Taken from the rib of Adam. Meaning what? You're still the one.
Right.
So the way you love yourself should also be poured out on your wife. Because this is the one thing that comes to trip me out. I cannot... Yes, I'll take that back. You can't be that way. But if I can die to self, I remember Terrell Owens say, I love me some me. Yes, I do. I love me some me. Why? Because this is now a part of me. And so when you're talking about submitting to one another, I'm submitting my weakness because that's your strength. So when you're talking about dying to self, yeah, I can walk in here in all this power and all this authority, but is it needed for right now?
Right.
Is it needed for this moment? Is it needed for this time?
And most of the time, the loudest person in the room is the most insecure person in the room.
Mm.
So if you have to walk around and show your dominance and show people who
you
are
and
tell people who you are, then you really don't know who you are.
Amen.
Which is the reason why you try to throw off your authority and you push people around and you feel that you have to dictate others and do all these different things. So if that is you, man of God, I pray and I ask that God would pierce your heart and that you would seek after him so that he would just change you, that he would align you with where you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to treat his people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell you, the one thing, it's so funny because it's dawned on me. If you kind of want to know who a person is, whether they're in the house or outside, if they're in their home or either at work. So say you can have a manager on your job that's just so bossful, but then when their spouse boastful or so bossy, okay. got to be in control of everything. But soon as you have that one company picnic or that one company gathering, when that person's spouse is there and they're totally different, and that's like, wait a minute, what's going on?
Right.
Because you got some people that cannot rule in their house, so they're gonna rule where they can. And then you have the other ones that, you know, it's just whatever. But you can always sit back. You just sit back and look. You're like, You just kind of tell. Well,
let me also drop this nugget, too, before we push into the vows. So when you think of before we go into it, the vows.
We've already started.
No, we haven't. We haven't. Y'all, it take them a minute to catch up. You good, baby. You good.
I'm fine.
So... one other nugget. So when you think of that, the scriptural reference says, the husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself for it. He died and he gave himself for it. This is also, I've seen situations where there are men of God who are in the church. And I've seen this, I've experienced this, where they are so busy trying to get to the church house that all they think of is themselves. And so they're walking in advance of their family. They're not thinking about the family. Then I've also seen other men who are well put together, but then their family is left looking homely. You're always walking in front of your family. Your family is always behind you. You're always steps ahead of the family, not that you're making a way, but because it's about you. And then when we turn and we look at your family, family is not well kept. It's when the scripture reference, and this is just my own insertion, It's just a nugget that says that to husbands, love yourselves as Christ. Husbands, love your wives.
Thank you.
Husband, love your wives as Christ.
Love the church.
Love the church. When he loved the church, he didn't think about himself first. He always thought about the people.
But then, that's who the church is. It's
right.
The person.
But he thought about the people. It was never an I.
Right. It was never a me.
So ooh. When you're taking care of your family, when you're going places with your family, understand, man of God is not about you.
Right.
When you say that you are loving your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church, that means that you want to make sure that your family is taken care of before you move to do anything. So if your family, if you looking good, but your family not looking good, that's not loving your wife as Christ loved the church.
Now see, she looking good. And I'm sitting here looking like I just came up for a marathon.
So keep that in mind as you're moving forward and you're in ministry, even as you're just identifying certain things. It's not about you. It's about right. Your family.
Right.
It's about
it's
your
about
wife.
The whole.
It's about the.
It's the, about the whole.
It's about the whole.
Yeah.
And understand that, because if it's about you and you're here, your family is here, that ain't the way God wanted it to be.
But
yes,
why?
You are. Yes, you are ahead of the wife, but you're also taking care of the wife.
But
you're also covering the wife. You're also taking, like, you're, it's like a blanket.
Mm, it's a covering. Right.
It's a covering.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not I, it's about me, it's about me, and yeah, my family is back there. No. God's not pleased with that.
So even when you look at it, it's so funny because I was just talking with a couple the other day, and the Lord had kind of showed me something that when you are in marriage with one another, you is words as me, I is gone, and you use words as we and us.
Right.
Because when you are in a marriage, The two individuals have just now become one. So therefore, even the language itself has changed. And
right.
So even when you begin to look at it, do you know that when you use words such as I and me, you use words of division?
Mm. Okay.
And so when you, because whatever it is, you're like, oh, I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that. You're now cutting off the part of you that has just been joined together. Why? Because whatever I do, it also affects you.
Right.
So it's literally, I know it sounds like improper English, but it's whatever we do.
Right.
Why? Because we are going to be affected. It doesn't matter if I have a job, or if I don't have a job, or you have a job, or don't have a job. Guess what? We both are going to be affected by decisions that was made. So if I'm going to affect it, so if I choose to do X, Y, Z, then guess what? Now, whatever I choose is going to affect her. But why am I going to introduce division into something that is whole?
Right.
It's just like, that's why I think I've come to understand I don't like fractions. I just rather deal with the whole number. Come on, baby. Go.
Okay.
Go.
So we're getting right into the wedding vows. This is the good stuff. So, says groom.
To the groom. Uh-huh.
Do you promise to live with the bride?
Hold on. I don't like that one.
According to God's purposes. Do you promise to commit yourself to meeting her needs physical, emotional, and spiritual? Do you promise that whatever the circumstances, you will love, honor, and sustain her, and that as long as you both shall live, you will be faithful to her?
Wow.
Do you so promise? Anything else?
Oh, you're asking me? Nah, because yours is a little different from mine.
Okay,
wait a minute. Where is yours at? Wait a minute, I got to see. Yours, will you? Hold on, because we got two different ones.
That's not even the vows right there. That's a reference. That's like a common context.
No, it's not.
You got to get up. Where's the vows at?
I'm about to school you on this.
Where's the vows?
Hello, this is
that's
the,
not a vow.
No, this is the start. See, it's right there. Boom.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I know I had broken down. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
The groom says, I do.
See? Go ahead. Go with it.
Then the pastor says to the bride, same thing. Do you promise to live with the groom according to God's promises, according to God's purposes. Do you promise to commit yourself to meeting his needs, physical, emotional, and spiritual? Do you promise that whatever the circumstances, you will love, honor, and sustain him, and that as long as you both shall live, you will be faithful to him? Do you so promise? The bride says, I do. Read your reference.
Well, no, because it just started off at the beginning where it says, do you take?
Go ahead.
Do you do, Eric, do you take Tamika? Period. Did, am I ahead of you?
I don't see that one.
See, and that's all I'm talking about. They're a little different because it's a ceremony. There's so many. But that thing that was, the thing that got me is that when it says,
I do have it.
Oh. Okay.
I didn't
want to get ahead. That's what I wanted, because that part right there is so heavy.
All right. So then it says, the pastor says, will you groom take your bride?
Stop. What is this vow saying? What is he saying to me right now? He says, do I take? What is take? What, if I'm going to take you to be a part of me, what am I taking?
Everything.
Everything. Your flaws. I'm taking the good, the bad, and the indifferent.
And the ugly.
So why the good, the bad, the ugly,
and the indifferent. Yes.
So if I am going to take this, then why come the first moment of adversity show up, I'm ready to roll.
Right. And then here's another thing. So before, if you're going through premarital coaching or counseling and you have not, you might be engaged and you have not set your date, whatever the case is, or maybe your date is in advance. Before you get to that floor, as you're going through your premarital process, I want you all to pull up some vows. Pull up the vows that you're going to do, and I want you to walk through them, because here's saying, I take. So I'm taking all of you. So you think about all of that.
Ooh.
Right? So you, right now, everybody's happy, lovely, la, 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 la. Everybody's planning the wedding. We're doing all this wonderful stuff, and everybody is rainbows and sunshines right now, because it's about the wedding dress. It's about the shoes. It's about the tux. It's about the place, the location.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's about all this stuff, right? People spend a lifetime on what they want the marriage ceremony to be, but they don't focus enough on what the marriage should be.
What they want the marriage to be.
What you want your marriage to be. And so a lot of times, the first time we've ever heard the vows is in front of the pastor. Or if we write our own vows or right before the wedding, but we never refer back to it.
Mm.
So that means that if Keisha got a funky attitude, and you already know she got a funky attitude, when you get to that altar, you saying, I want this funky attitude. So you can't be mad when she gives you that funky attitude. A year from now, and you just like, well, dang, I can't stand your attitude. Well, you knew what her attitude was before you got engaged.
Come on now. Come on.
Think about all these different things. You know what their family is. So I believe a reason why they said the prayer over the friends and the family is because now you know the family.
Right.
Once y'all get intertwined, her family is your family. His family is your family.
Right.
No matter how jacked up everybody is, y'all are families.
Right. But you said, and that's the part.
You have to separate it. But what I'm saying is you can't get in there and be like, well, I don't want to go to your family this holiday.
Come on now.
What you mean?
Ooh, are you telling them?
Like, what you mean? I had that problem for a while. I kind of got over it, but I had my own personal reasons. It wasn't the same.
Praise the Lord.
It wasn't the same as being with my family. My family is what I've known for all my life.
Because guess what? Because that's the thing. You're both are coming from two different upbringings.
Right.
So that's always going to be a difference right there. Why? Because you're from two different upbringings.
All I'm saying is, you can't get mad because somebody is showing you who they already were, and you saw it, and you ignored it.
And now you want to be upset because you get on your nerves.
This vow was saying, John, do you take Keisha to be your wife?
Come on.
That means all of her stuff.
All her mess.
When she on her cycle, and she PMSing, and all those different things, do you take her and all of her stuff?
And I hate to keep it 100 with you, because understand.
You said you hate to keep it 100?
I said, I would hate to keep this 100 because what I'm saying is, because I don't want to offend nobody, but we have these issues because jabs come. So that means, am I going to take how you look now? And am I going to still take you how you look tomorrow? Meaning what? When that Coca-Cola bottle turns into a 3-liter. Or when that 3-liter right. turns into a Coca-Cola bottle. Come right. on now, because right. Right. I know one couple right now where the husband had an issue because the wife realized that she was too rough. So because she lightened up, oh, I have a problem with it. Because when I married you, you was a thug. Right. Now you sensitive. No, these are things you're saying, if I'm going to take you, I'm going to take you even with your change.
Right. Ooh. And that's a hard thing to swallow, but you need to know this before you get there.
But see, but that's the thing, because remember when we talk about liquid love, because liquid love flows into every change. Why you think that the earth floor causes a tsunami when an earthquake takes place? Because water begin to rush in to feel the change.
Yeah. Ooh. Not only to rush in to feel the change, but it rushes in to fill the gap.
Come on now.
So when you think about it's rushing in to fill the gaps, these are gaps where it might not have been evident.
Come on.
So say you get married, guess what? When you're standing at that altar and you're saying, I'm taking Felicia, I'm taking Sarah. You're taking Sarah with all of her hurts. You're taking Sarah with her molestation.
Come on.
You're taking Sarah with her rape. You're taking Sarah with all of her discouragement.
Yes.
You're taking Sarah with all of her insecurities.
You're taking Sarah with all her depression. Come on.
Right.
You're taking Sarah with all her mental issues.
Right.
Amen.
You're taking Sarah with all of her financial issues.
Come on.
So think about that. As you are at that altar and you're saying, I take.
And then, not just think about that, but for those of you that are already married, remember that.
Right.
Remember that. Oh, I said I will take that. Why? Because you have to remember.
Yeah.
If you're saying that I got to love her as Christ loved the church, Christ died for the church, which brought what? Healing. But if I can't love you through your mess, then guess what? Then you tell me, how can love cover a multitude of sin?
Right. I think you moved this with her. Because I hear your...
Hear me breathing.
Just leave it. Just leave it. Just leave it.
You make me pant.
Oh, my God.
We're just talking about John. John, if you're going to take Felicia, guess what, John? You're taking everything.
Right.
I don't care if Felicia was a daddy's girl. Guess what? You still got to take that. So guess what? For that time being, because not every father understands what they have just given over.
Right.
Come on here now.
Right.
So when you are saying, I take, that's meaning I'm taking you with your right arm longer than your left.
Right.
I'm taking you with two left feet. I'm taking you
with your health challenge.
Come on now. I'm taking me. I am willing to take on everything that you have. All of your.
And loving it.
Come on now. And loving it. Because I can love you through your pain.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
I'm a living witness. Praise
yeah.
the Lord. I'm a
and
living
witness.
It.
So just remember that when you are Ooh. Saying that I take. Because here's the deal. That father, that mother, those parents, that person that's designated to give the bride away, that's what they're saying. We're giving her to you for you to love and to care.
Right. You know what trips me out with
this? And you're saying,
I'm taking this.
I'm taking it all.
I'm taking it.
To love and to care.
It's so funny because when I hear fathers, when they're giving away their daughters, like when I hear the married woman talk about that, their father always asks the question, are you sure? Why? Because that father already knows, like, yo, I know what I'm giving over to you.
Right.
Do you know what you're taking?
Right.
Woo.
So it says, to be your wife.
Uh-huh.
Will you promise before God and these friends to be her faithful husband, to share with her in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow,
mm-hmm.
in sickness and in health, to forgive and strengthen her, and to join with her, so that together you may serve God and others as long as you both shall live.
That, right there,
a lot.
That right there? So let's take this line by line.
Okay,
line
what says,
we're going to just deal with who he's asking. Who is this?
This is to the groom.
This to the groom. Okay, let's take it line
groom,
by line.
Groom. You take your wife,
uh-huh.
your bride to be your wife.
Stop. I got it now.
We already did that one.
Oh, we did. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Will you promise before God and these friends to be faithful to her?
Stop. Right here, you got to understand right now, don't nothing come between what I have taken.
Right.
Whether this look begin to be broke, busted, and disgusted, nothing comes in between the union that we have.
Right.
It does not matter. I heard someone say, well, I lost interest. How can you lose interest in yourself? Now, listen, I'm not trying to tell
you. Why does it say yourself? Why are you losing interest in yourself?
Because we have just became one.
Ooh.
We just became one. The moment I say I do, meaning I have just promised.
And then when you say that you no longer have interest, so let's break that down. Whoa. So, right, that you said that you're going to be faithful. So this means that this comes in, the enemy is crafty.
Hold on, time out real quick. I want to make sure we break this down, meaning being faithful, meaning nothing. See, a lot of people think when you're talking about being faithful, a lot of people think about another woman or another human being coming in. No, it's not just that. It's that, am I going to be faithful? Am I going to be faithful when it comes down to what I like to do? What's going to come in between what we have? What's going to come? Is my job going to take up more time, more quality time?
But that
time?
Also includes a relationship. So it's not just faithful because you have to build it.
Right.
So this vow is saying that you're not going to let anyone or anything come and break that down.
Right.
So when it comes to the enemy being crafty, it's about anything.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that, you know, you want to make more money. It could be another female or another male that's coming in the case.
It could be another relationship.
It could be another relationship, but what is really important is that you understand how the enemy is moving.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the very end of this, so when we break down the context and it says that you are taking this vow unto God.
Right.
So again, when it says that husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and he died for it, that means that nothing came between the love that Christ had for not only God, but also for the people.
Right.
He stayed steadfast and true no matter what happened, no matter what took place, because he knew that at the end of the tunnel, if he didn't get to where the end goal was, that he knew that he was not going to be able to offer an opportunity of eternal life and salvation for the people that didn't even realize that they needed to be saved. That's what I keep going back to. Like, we are serving an omnipotent, almighty, sovereign God who loves us even when we didn't love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Who was faithful to us even when we weren't faithful to him.
Come on.
Who still keeps us and has kept us
mm-hmm.
when we didn't even want to be kept.
Come on.
This is the kind of God that we're serving. This is the kind of God who came and who died and who gave himself for the church.
And
this man of God is the charge of you to love your wife.
Right. And at the same time, when Satan tried to tempt, Jesus, he said right after the moment in his time of weakness. What are you saying? Is that the enemy is going to even try and tempt you in your time of weakness? It's just like I heard of one. I heard one leader was saying that I had a relationship, but it was just in conversation. But if I cannot pour everything into my wife, my vulnerabilities, my moment of weakness, then I am now being unfaithful. So you mean to tell me how things would have played out if Jesus would have forgotten who he was and told the created that the created need to bow to it? So that's the thing. What are you trying to say when the enemy try to be crafty and come in during your time of weakness and your moment of weakness and try to say, hey, you turn these stones into bread. I will give you the kingdom. Just bow to me.
And it's in the moments of the weakness. Because in our own marriage, like we've been married 22 years, and y'all know I like to keep it real.
Tell me, baby.
And
tell
so
me.
There were moments in our marriage where when we weren't communicating, when we weren't in alignment, when we weren't before God, that the enemy was crafting. The enemy was trying to come in.
Yeah, buddy.
There was a moment where my husband owned a job.
Owned a job, Slim.
this lady that he was working with
turned up.
Now we go and, like, we don't have a problem with having lunch with the opposite sex when we're at work. I don't have a problem with that. He never had a problem with that. I always let him know, hey, this is who it is. This is where we're going. Like, it's never been an issue. So it's never been an issue even on his end. But I didn't get in the vehicle and ride with them. We walked to wherever we went. I don't have to get in the vehicle and go riding with no dude nowhere. He was in the vehicle with this female. And she got real comfortable, and to the point to where they were driving. He was, no, y'all were sitting still?
What are you talking about? No, we was outside.
Don't act like you don't know. We was outside of the vehicle.
You talking about?
You were outside of the vehicle, and she said to smack my cheeks because you told me she was inside of the vehicle.
Oh Lord!
And she leaned over and said, "Smack my cheeks."
She wasn't listening. We was outside because we had just got through with lunch. And I forgot whatever the conversation was. It was, hey, smack my cheek. Oh, Lord, I'm in the wrong place. It's time to go.
I was told that she was in the vehicle, and she's leaned over.
She said, smack my cheek.
You could smack my cheeks. And so, y'all, I ain't been saved all my life, right? So when I found this out, the old me had rose up just a little bit because I had to get myself together to say, and what did you do? And so Eric is very naive to the point where he flirts a lot and does not realize that he flirts.
But I'm trying to tell him to tell me when I'm flirting.
I'm okay with that.
So I know. But I want to be better.
What I'm not okay with is him being so naive to when he's nice to people and when he's flirting that he does not recognize when the enemy is taking that as a loophole and is looping and ringing him in. So I have to step up on the scene and say, hey, listen. So one of his coworkers was like, Shawty, you need to go and cut that off. Like, that ain't cute. You know, people, when you're at work, and it's just a happy, you know, coworker environment. People, you buy breakfast and lunch for people. You exchange money sometimes. Little small dollar amounts. Like, it's a co-working family environment, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have a problem with that. But when you get a little too comfortable, Tamika got to show up on the scene to let you know who is in the house. And so, ladies, that's the authority that we have when certain things take place. So, okay, I'm going to give you the opportunity to fix it. But if you don't fix it, I'm showing up on the scene. And I'm going to need you to know that I'm going to show up on the scene. So it's an opportunity for you to make sure that you are understanding that the enemy is crafty.
Right.
And it's going to come when you're most vulnerable.
Right.
It was coming when he wasn't getting none. It was coming when I wasn't paying attention to him because I was working. I was trying to build a business. So guess what? That's an opportunity where the enemy is going to come in and is going to dive in to seek into your weaknesses and your vulnerabilities.
So you got to pay attention on both sides. Well, we're just talking about the man right now. We ain't got to your part yet.
I know.
So
listen, it ain't got to be about me.
Time.
It ain't got to be about me.
Okay, good. We're good. And so, wait a minute.
I know. Is that time already?
We're close to it. Jeez. So it's going to be a part three.
So we got to keep moving. Hold on.
It's going to be a part. But that's next line.
So, all right, to be faithful husband, to share with her in plenty and in want.
What? Meaning what? What is that? What is that saying? Meaning that whatever is yours is hers. Period. You know, because we've been having an issue. That means literally whatever my, come on here, Jesus, whatever my interests are whose interests?
Come on.
Read it again.
It says.
Read it again. I'm going to need somebody to send me an email if it's not. Come on now.
It says to share with her in plenty and in want. That's to share. That's
share
talking
what?
About resources. That's talking about funds. That's talking about providing. That's talking about that.
Y'all better help me out. So wait a minute. Even in the interest is not.
I don't think that's what that means.
Oh, okay. So
it's share with her in plenty and in want.
That means
when you have a lot, whether it's money, whether it's food, whether it's resources, whether it's connections, then you share in that wealth. Even where it's in the wealth and the plenty, or if it's in the lack of that thereof.
Right.
So that means that, okay, husband, you might need to feed the family before you eat.
Right, right. Ooh, yes, Lord. And I had a few of them nights.
That means that you might need to, you know, make a way and provide as much as you can provide.
Ooh, yes.
It says in plenty and in want.
That means you got to give up the new vehicle so that and drive the bucket. The
right.
one that you got to, every time the needle stern get too hot, you got to pull it to the side of the road so it can cool down. Then you crank up and keep going.
Or drive your motorcycle in the wintertime so that your wife can be warm.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes, when we cross the moments.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. We're sharing practical situations.
I risk my life.
We're sharing so practical situations where we, like this, I didn't even realize it because
one car was in the shop. That's right.
Right. There was a car in the shop. We both were working in D.C., and the kids had to be daycare in school.
And it was freezing.
The motorcycle was not my desire or my recreational
and
want.
We couldn't carpool because our times were different.
Because we worked different times because somebody had to be available to get to the kids.
Now, remember, though, because it was that whole week. Because remember, that's right.
It was always still
kids.
Oh,
my God,
like
that's right. Because somebody had to go get them.
So
I just got cold thinking about that time. Lord Jesus.
So that's what that means.
That also comes into the sacrifices that we as a husband have to make, because that's what Christ did.
Right.
He made the sacrifice. But even we ain't got to the woman yet. Ooh, we're gonna probably deal with that one on the next go around. Go ahead, I'm ready.
All right. And then in joy and in sorrow.
That means what? We're going to enjoy the moments, but that's why the Bible even tells us, it says, you know, rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep. So when you're dealing with a part of you, because, you know what I'm saying, like when, you know, just like when, if I have a loss, you know, my wife she's there. It's like, yo, you know, maybe she'll make provisions for me to get there. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it's having that moment where it's that same thing. It's like, hey, I understand that we received some bad news, but hey, but guess what? We also received some good news, so we're going to rejoice in this.
Right. In sickness and in health,
mm-hmm.
to forgive and strengthen her.
Come on now. That's right. You got to have a heart to forgive, period. You have got to have a heart to forgive. Mine, I'm telling you right now, because I literally have just recognized, and now I understand why I wasn't getting blessed, but because I was literally carrying something for 2 years that God is like, listen, you 10 years. I was carrying something for 10 years that when I hit this point that God was like, no, you need to get rid of this now, because I can't take you with you carrying this. And so the moment that God had brought me to that place, and I had told, I said, girl, I forgive you. Did I turn around and begin
to
strengthen
you? Why you had to hit me like that?
Huh? My bad, that was a love tap.
Dude, that was not a love tap.
Did it hurt you?
Y'all saw my whole body move, didn't you?
Yeah, did that hurt? Did that hurt you? So, but no. Nah, but as, no. Like I said, once I've forgiven you, what did I begin to do? I began to strengthen you. And in the very area that God was even pushing you in. I mean, am I right or wrong?
Yes, you're right. And to join
that,
with
that
her.
That didn't seem very believable, but
and
okay.
to join with her so that together you may serve God and others as long as you both shall live.
Mm. Amen. Serve God and others. Amen. So, but we thank you because this is our
Wait
time.
A second, but I wanted to identify that the charge for the vow started with the groom.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take that into context, I was just a nugget before you close it, we close out. If you take that into the context with the vows were given to the groom first,
mm-hmm.
and the husband is over the wife,
mm-hmm.
right? And then God is over the husband.
Christ is. Uh-huh.
Christ is over the husband. So if you think about that in the context of how the vows were set up or even how the mandates were given, because the husband is over the wife, when things start to get shaky and things start to collapse and start moving aside and going every wick away and not looking like it's supposed to look, guess whose responsibility it is supposed to line up and align and get things back in order?
Ooh, go on now.
It's the husband.
It's the husband.
It's the groom. He's giving the mandate to the groom first.
Right. Because, you know, I've come, this just hit me. I understand that he gave the mandate to the groom first, because who did scripture point out the groom to be like? Christ. Love your wife as who?
Christ.
As Christ loved the church. Meaning what he's saying, follow my example. Why? Because what is the church doing? It's following Christ's example. That's why Paul said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Woo! Lord, let me take this big old horse pill and swallow it. Lord have mercy.
So think about all of this before you talk about you want to get married.
But think about this, even though you are married.
Right.
You think about these vows that you have taken. We ain't even gotten to the whole, we ain't got to the
Marriage is a beautiful thing. I don't want you
it's
to
what
think
you
about
make it.
I don't want you to say think that we're condemning marriage, because that is not what we're doing. We are not making a light of the vows at all. That is not what we're doing. We're helping you to understand and to break down that this is not a regular contract that you're going into. That it's a covenant.
This is covenant talk.
And here's why it's covenant. And these are the things that you should be thinking about if you're trying to get married or if you are already married.
Right.
So when stuff gets hard, don't go and talk about you quitting. No, let's go back to revert and revisit our vows.
Let's look
say,
at this thing.
All right, what are we doing? Why are we doing this?
Right.
Let's get back to the center core.
Right.
The center core, okay, we both need to be on our face. We both need to be down in the presence of God right now, because right now we all off whack.
But we both need to get on one accord.
Yeah.
So, and here's a quote. A happy marriage doesn't mean you have a perfect spouse or even the perfect marriage. It simply means you have chosen to look beyond the imperfections in both.
Right.
You have chosen to look beyond the imperfections in each other. Amen.
Amen. God, we love you, we honor you, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for just this time, this moment. Bless every household that is listening, that will listen, that will watch, and that will tune in. I ask that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them, that you would guide them, that you would protect them, that you would cover them, that you would blanket them, God, with your strength.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, God, we love you, we honor you. In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
If you would like to get in contact with us, again, we are not licensed counselors. We are marriage coaches. So if you'd like to reach out to us to schedule a coaching session, we are available. If you have questions, we are available. Go to www.marriagetakeover.com. If you'd like to send us an email or a question, that's marriagetakeover@gmail.com. Follow us on Gmail, on IG and Facebook, and that again is at Marriage Takeover.
And YouTube.
And YouTube. Make sure that you, and at Twitter as well.
All
make sure that you
places.
Just plug in and connect, share it. If it's been a blessing to you, share it. Reach out to us. We want to hear from you.
Amen.
All right?
Amen. So,
this is Tamika.
I'm your boy, E. Rocknam.
And this is Marriage Takeover, signing out.
Mahalo.
Thank you for tuning in to Marriage Takeover. Connect with us on Facebook at Marriage Takeover.